This week on The Wise Guys.
With that, man, I just feel like, we all have gifts and abilities, and some people don't think they have them, but they're hidden inside somewhere. But if you know what your gift is, you got to go all in. There's no excuse. If you don't, you're doing yourself a disservice, and you're setting yourself up to depression later on. I don't care what's going on in your life. You've got three kids, make it happen.
Make it happen.
Buy yourself a microphone, buy yourself whatever it's got to be, whatever your dream is, go for it.
Go for
You
it.
know, because if you let it go and you say, I've got kids and I'm gonna dial it back now, you're gonna resent them. Or you'll throw your dreams in the trash can, and now your kids are you gonna be your dream. You're gonna be trying to live through them. You ever see someone, they've got their kids and they're putting them in, they're forcing them in modeling things and they
All the
You got
time.
something you wanna tell me? Why are you It's like they're trying to live through them. They put on their Instagram bio, Rayshawn's mommy. Who are you?
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Mark Pruden, and you're now tuning in to the Wise Guys Podcast, brought to you by Flowered Concrete.
So I guess we can jump right into it.
Okay.
So really, first, I just wanted to just talk a little bit about just my background and how I got to where I am now.
Yes.
Just because, a lot of people, there's that notion in this world where you need to have a fancy education, you need to, go along the lines of society. And I feel like we always have so many options. There's so many options on the table for all of us. And with the evolving economy, I definitely think that, we have to have a much more open mind as a people.
For sure.
So, as you already know, I've worked so many jobs in my life, from starting at Wendy's, Sears, PetSmart, Nets, I've been all over the place. But the thing that really transformed my life was when I went to YouTube University. You know,
Talk about it.
just I really, when I got introduced to finance, I wasn't in school, so I said, how can I obtain enough information to be able to invest successfully? And this is where I started digging into YouTube. I started Googling different topics. And that's where I found out that there is such a wealth of knowledge on the internet, and there's absolutely no excuse for not having the answer to something. Everything is at our fingertips. So, like you said, just that consistency. I was on the computer, on the internet, researching for hours at a time, 10, 12, 15 hours a day on cryptocurrency. And from there, I was able to take that knowledge and actually get involved with a cryptocurrency firm at the time called BlockFi.
Yes.
And I found it amazing because in this age, not only can you access information anywhere, but you can access people. Our parents couldn't DM, a celebrity or DM a CEO of a company. There was no DM. There was no internet for some of us. So what I did was I had this knowledge of cryptocurrency, and I went ahead on LinkedIn and I messaged the CEO of the company. And I was able to get an interview from that DM. So I feel like we have the ability to contact anyone. So there it's we almost live in a borderless generation where you can get in touch with anyone. They may not respond, but you can put a mail, you can put a piece of mail in their mailbox, virtually.
Now, can I ask you a question in regards to
Sure,
that?
yeah.
So when you did that, that was a huge leap of faith on your end in
Yeah.
doing so. When you did that, what was your mindset like in doing that? Did you feel that you had anything to lose in regards to taking that initiative? Because a lot of folks in this day and age, Mark, in today's generation, they're afraid to take that initiative because they feel as if they're not ready or they have imposter syndrome. How
Right.
did how, what was your mindset like at the time when you decided to take that leap of faith?
Man, at the time, like you said, I felt like I had nothing to lose. I felt like I had nothing to lose and everything to gain. There's no, you only lose when you don't try. That's how I feel. So I figured, you've done the research, you've put the time in, so I had the confidence to send that message. And that's what it comes down to. I remember we spoke about this before. Confidence comes from experience and actually doing and accomplishing something. A lot of the time people say, believe in yourself. Why should I believe in myself if I didn't put in the work?
Wow.
Stop. Why are we telling our kids believe in themselves when they didn't research or they didn't put the work in? No, you won't believe in yourself until you know you put the work in.
That's why I shared that clip the other day about Russ when he was like, society often tells you, like, we'll tell you when it's time to be confident. Until then, you can't be confident in yourself. And that's why I shared it because it's like, yeah, I'm going to talk my talk because I know I put the work in.
Exactly.
So why are you going to try to suppress my arrogance or me to be boasting because of the fact that I've completed things in my life. Exactly. I've created things. I've built things. So I'm not just telling you. My resume speaks for itself.
That's it. That's it. And you have to be able to just stand on your own 2 feet and say, listen, I put the work in. I'm going to kick the door in. And that's exactly what I did, because at the end of the day, there were no college courses on cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. So the only place to get that information was the internet.
So you're self-taught.
So completely self-taught. Mm-hmm. So, you know, of course, when I was at firms like BlockFi and Coinbase, you know, I'm surrounded by people with master's, bachelor's degrees, you know, some with MBAs. Mm-hmm. And I have no degree. You know, but I put the work in. I put the time in.
I love it.
It's all about putting the time in and really just establishing yourself. If you can attain knowledge and prove that you have that knowledge, no one will question you. Mm-hmm. As long as you fit the bill. So that's really what has allowed me to be able to enter these firms and work with these institutions that are looking to invest in different asset classes. It's because I put in the work, and it's undeniable. Mm. Quiz me on anything. You know, try to catch me slipping, man. I'm on point.
Right.
So I think I definitely want to put the message out there that, you know, there are no limitations. You know, we have access to traditional education. You can get a bachelor's, master's, doctorate. But for some categories, you don't necessarily need to. And you can attain a level of knowledge on different finance topics by researching on your own. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a beautiful thing. And I think the world's our oyster.
Yeah.
But you then have to take a look at, and now we're still talking about jobs. So success is linear. We all have the ability to reach success.
Without a doubt.
But we have to always monitor the economy as well.
Ooh. Oh, bro. Yeah. I don't know if they were ready for this one till you hitting. Could you please expound upon that? Why is that so crucial and vital?
For sure. Because I know we can always get a job, right? We can always research like I did and get a job. Or we can always go to college and get a job. But we have to make sure we understand how the economy is evolving. So you may be going to college for a field that may not be there in 10 years. Mm. I mean, we've all looked at the advancements with artificial intelligence and robotics. Jobs are going away.
They are.
And I believe that within 10 years, there will be no jobs. Mm. And when I say no jobs, I mean zero. No, you know, yeah. Like zero. Like we've talked about ChatGPT. I mean, this thing could replace my job tomorrow. Like me, gone. Put the it's so amazing. You know, it's just like, and I don't think people contextualize how real this is. Real, like this isn't a fantasy.
Right.
Like this level of artificial intelligence can write an essay for you, mm-hmm. if you ask it. Mm-hmm. You can take a YouTube video. Take the subtitles, upload the subtitles to this artificial intelligence bot and say, write me a 3-page essay on this video.
Right.
On this documentary. And it's done. 5 minutes.
It's interesting you say that. I just want to piggyback off of that real quick. I didn't get a chance to read the article, but I came across something on my Google search page about a professor or professors banning the use of ChatGPT with students, mm-hmm. because students are starting to plagiarize off of that now or whatnot. And when I say plagiarize, like they're just having, they're calling it plagiarism because they have ChatGPT writing the essay for them. So they believe that they're not putting in the work, the students.
And that's the thing. Okay, I used ChatGPT. Prove I used it. Prove it.
Right.
This is artificial intelligence that learns constantly. How can you prove that this essay came from the bot?
Right.
This isn't like a copyrighted information. It made it for me on the spot. Mm-hmm. It's not something it took from the internet and gave me. It literally computes it. It put it together. It formulated the essay. It fixed the grammatical errors. How can they prove it? And that's going to be the challenge over the next 2, 3, 5 years. How can you prove that the bot is doing the work and not the human?
That's true.
Yeah, it's going to be something, man.
It's going to be something.
And we'll see. We'll see what happens, but at the end of the day, society is still structured how it is today. So listen, you've got to get your essay done. You've got to submit your work.
Right.
But I'm just curious to see what happens next.
Yeah.
With this level of technology, because I can use this at work. I can have it write emails for me.
Right.
So I'm really curious. And once companies begin to adopt this technology, you're going to start to see customer service jobs go away, because we've always used chatbots. Mm-hmm. You know, when you go online shopping, you're talking to the chatbot, simple inquiries. Mm-hmm. But what happens when it can now perform more complex inquiries?
Absolutely.
Precisely. And I heard someone mention this. One day you're gonna call in to a company and you're gonna want the bot. Mm. You're gonna say, I don't want a human, I want a bot. Much more efficient.
Absolutely.
They're always on point. That human messes up.
Right.
So, and this is where, when we start to see a huge level of jobs on the brink of disappearing, mm-hmm. what do we do next?
Yeah.
How do we keep ourselves ahead of the game economically?
Very true, brother.
And I can't say I have the answer for that.
No, that's completely understandable.
Because I think what the government will have to do is implement something called universal basic income.
Yeah, UBI. Yep. We talked about it.
So where everyone gets a check because there are no jobs for anyone. And let's think about it. If you have robots producing things, if you have artificial intelligence doing things for, you know, replacing jobs, things get cheaper.
Right.
You know, the cost of goods and services goes down because every business's highest expense is labor. Mm-hmm. You know, your employee cost. Mm-hmm. So if you cut the employee cost, put in robots and artificial intelligence, you don't need employees. Now you can bring that cost down. Maybe a MacBook, instead of costing $1,000, maybe it's $300.
Right.
Now that universal basic income is stretching a lot further.
Yeah.
Now that Big Mac that used to cost $5 now costs $2.
Right.
Because robots made it.
Robots made it, yeah.
So it really comes down to, life won't be terrible, but I don't know if anyone will be working. You will be able to afford things. The cost of goods and services will be cheap. But it's just going to be about, how do you maintain your productivity?
Right.
And I think it comes down to, like we spoke about earlier, creation.
Yes.
What are you working on? What are you creating? What are you offering the world? Because if labor's gone, that frees up a lot more time for humans to focus on their gifts and abilities.
It's so true.
So I think maybe I might kind of answer my own question. How we get out of this and how we continue to stay successful in this economy where robots and artificial intelligence are handling everything,
yeah,
is to unlock our creativity.
You're absolutely right.
Maybe we're making music. Maybe we're painting. Maybe we're, you know, we're making content for other humans to enjoy, you know, just speaking. So I think it comes down to that creativity, taking away the mundane tasks and really allowing humans to be human again. Because mm-hmm. if I'm at, you know, in a factory moving things, this isn't natural human activity. Mm. We're made to create, we're made to love, we're made to enjoy each other's company and put things out for the world. So I think the mundane tasks, the annoying jobs are gonna come to an end, and it's gonna be time for us to really affect the world. It's gonna free up humans to affect the world a lot more. That's what I feel.
Well, let me ask you these two questions I have for you here.
Yep.
I'm gonna offer a bit of pushback, because I could be assuming that our listeners are probably, what came to my mind, our listeners are probably currently asking these questions and they probably want them answered.
Yeah.
Two-part question. One, where do you think, with everything you've just said about creativity and being freed up to do, you know, a myriad of different things or passions or other things we might want to explore, where do you think human beings will be able to fit in terms of coinciding alongside artificial intelligence in that manner? And then my follow-up question to that is, how do you see both humans and AI adapting to, you know, having to live amongst one another in order to maintain and sustain the revolving of the world? What are your thoughts on that? Like, how do you see that being an adjustment?
I think initially, when we first start to roll out a lot more robotics into the workplace and AI, I think first we'll be working side by side, mm-hmm. right? It will just be something to assist us. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll be putting on my robot arms to be able to lift pallets much easier and put them down. Now I'm a Superman.
Right.
But eventually they're gonna say, you know, you worked really well with the robot. Now the robot's gonna do it all.
Yeah, we got a new prototype.
They're not gonna just say, everybody get out, robots are coming. And they're gonna say, let's work with the robots side by side. We're gonna just, this is your new assistant. That's what they're gonna call it. It's here to assist you. And then it's here to replace you.
That's real.
They're not going to just kick you. That's going to be a slow transition. Mm-hmm. But of course, I believe humans will begin to resent the robots. Because, hey, you're taking my job. You know, you're putting me out of work. I can't feed my family. Mm-hmm. And that's going to become a large problem. I mean, when I worked at another crypto company, you know, we had over 100 associates, client associates.
Okay.
And to serve our clients, answer questions, you know, all inquiries, they would handle them, handle phone calls. But then we implemented a chatbot using AI. It was an AI-based chatbot. Mm-hmm. There was no work for those 100 employees. Wow. They were sitting around twiddling their thumbs, nothing to do.
Right.
So on that small scale, I've seen the effect of AI.
Right.
It literally wiped away 100 jobs just in the blink of an eye. They turned it on. There was no more work for them.
Wow.
So, of course, they hated the chatbot. Yeah. It's like, that stupid chatbot took my job, but this is the way it's supposed to go.
Right.
Companies are going to do anything they can to be as efficient as possible.
Absolutely.
So if that means putting a chatbot in and kicking 100 people out, that's just the way the game is.
Not yet.
So it's interesting. It's going to be integration at first. You know, slow integration is going to be your assistant, and then it's going to be your replacement. So, I mean, that's in the future, 5, maybe 10 years down the line. But I think, you know, since we're in the present now, I can focus on the present, too. And, you know, a lot of people are asking me, what's going on now?
Right.
What's happening now? What's going on with the markets? What's going on with the economy? And it's just business as usual. Mm-hmm. This is what always happens. It's just... It's cyclical. You know, there are cycles. There are up cycles and there are down cycles. And in our adulthood, we've been in a constant up cycle. We're spoiled. Mm. Everything's been great.
Yeah.
You know, we've had access to a booming economy. Credit was widely available at low interest rates. But now we're beginning to experience a pullback, something we've never seen before as millennials. And one thing I do want to say before I totally jump into it is, you know, what's causing, what allowed us to have such a prosperous economy, and what's causing the economy to pull back a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'd have to say it all comes down to a simple thing, and it's interest rates.
Huh.
So the Federal Reserve pretty much controls the money supply in America.
Yeah.
So they essentially print money. Mm-hmm. And they use something which is interest rates to manipulate the ability to disperse this money. So when interest rates are low, it's very easy to borrow money. You can get a mortgage at 2 or 3%. Your credit card interest rate is maybe 15, 20%. Borrowing money is easy. So we're able to borrow money. We can buy cars, we can buy houses, but businesses also like this low interest rate economy because they're able to borrow money to expand, to build larger factories, to put new technology in place, to develop new technologies, to put money into research. So they have a lot of money to work with because money is cheap. I can borrow with it near low, zero interest rates. Mm-hmm. So this is what causes a prosperous economy, low interest rates. Mm-hmm. Because when interest rates are low, you can qualify for more on your mortgage. More, if you're looking for a house, you qualify for more of a loan. You qualify for a much larger credit card available balance. So it allows the economy to expand because borrowing money is cheap. Mm-hmm. So stocks go up because companies are expanding and growing because of these low interest rates. People are getting jobs because these companies are expanding. They need new people. So people are getting high paying jobs because the company is growing, and everything is great. This is how we were living. Jobs were easy to come by. You know, we were all making money. All of our stocks were going up. It was easy. Everyone and their mother was an investing expert on Instagram and YouTube. You could put your money in anything and make money pretty much. Nice. But now, when that happens, when we have low interest rates, the money supply increases.
Okay.
Right? There's too much money in the marketplace now. Everyone was borrowing money. There's too much money slushing around. And that causes something called inflation. Mm-hmm. And inflation is when the value of your dollar decreases because there's more dollars in circulation. There's so much borrowing. There's cheap debt. Everyone is borrowing money to get a house, to get a car, to get a computer. And now inflation has taken over. Now your dollar is worth less. So I believe the inflation numbers for this past year were almost 8-9%. That means that your dollar is worth almost 10% less than it was the year before.
Right.
And when that happens, You have price increases of foods and services. Everything's going up. Everyone's talking about it. Gas is going up. Food's going up. And it's a misconception because the price of goods and services isn't going up. The value of your dollar is going down. The price of those goods and services is the same, but those businesses have to adjust because your dollar's worth less.
Got it.
So that's what's going on. And now the government is seeing, okay, prices are going up, inflation is high. Yeah. What does the Federal Reserve do to combat that?
Right.
They raise interest rates.
Right.
So now that they're raising interest rates, if you want to get a mortgage now, your payment may be $1,000 more, $1,500 more because that interest rate is higher. We went from 3% rate to a 7% rate. So that interest rate on your house is higher. If you want to get a car loan now, you may get a much higher rate, maybe 10, 15%. You know, your credit card interest rate may go to 30%. So what happens when interest rates are higher? People spend less. Oh, my credit card interest rate is crazy. I'm not buying that. You're going to offer me a 20% rate on that auto loan? No way. I'm good.
Right.
Mortgage. You want to give me a house at a 7% mortgage? No, I'm cool.
Right.
Now the spending activity stops. And what happens when the spending activity stops? Companies go, guys, sales are down. No one's buying stuff. I got to lay everybody off.
Wow.
People are getting laid off left and right. I was at Coinbase. I was on their institutional team. I got laid off from there.
Yeah.
They laid off 1,100 people.
Sheesh.
Yep, 1,100 people got laid off with me. And, of course, it was because of business reasons. Interest rates are going down. I mean, interest rates are going up, so stocks are going down. Economic activity is slowing. And you're going to see it happen all over the world soon.
Wow.
So we're in the beginning stages.
Yeah, you know, it's just the beginning.
It's just the beginning, and we're going to start to see mass layoffs. And it's going to be quite sad, but this is just the nature of the economy. This is how the cycle goes. And now the interest rates are higher. Yeah, we're going to get hit hard. Stocks are going to go down. Crypto is going to go down. Every asset class typically drops in a recession.
Yeah.
So it's definitely tough. So it's like, how do you stay safe in a recession? How do you maintain your financial position in a recession?
Yeah.
And
they haven't formally announced it yet.
No. I mean, they're not. They don't want to cause panic in the market. They want to cause panic with the public. But we've already been in a recession for a few months now. It's just they don't want to trigger everybody. But because once you hear the words recession, everyone changes their behavior. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're in a recession now. Oh, maybe we shouldn't get that car.
Right.
Maybe
right.
I'm getting laid off in a month. I don't know.
Wow.
So I've learned to not listen to the media when it comes to getting my information because they're just manipulating you.
Absolutely.
I remember when they were telling everyone to buy stocks, buy crypto shortly after the stock and crypto market began to drop.
Right.
And they're, you know, it's you just have to kind of just verify things for yourself.
Yeah.
So that's just in a nutshell what's going on with the economy and why stocks are falling, why crypto is falling, why housing prices are falling. Mm-hmm. It's because of those interest rates. They're rising. Things are getting more expensive.
Makes sense.
And it's going to be a change for all of us. And
wow.
Lastly, I'll cap it off by just talking about fear and greed.
I love it. Yeah,
so
talk about it.
And I can tie it back to interest rates. You know, when interest rates are high, you know, things are more expensive. That's when fear kicks in. Oh, no, I don't want to buy that. I don't think it's a good idea. But when interest rates are low, that's when the greed comes in. That's when the greed really comes in. I want to buy that car. I want to buy this house. I want to buy this. I want to buy that. And that greed can be intoxicating because as an investor, that's the worst thing to happen to you.
Really?
Yep, because when you're greedy, you're not thinking rationally. So you had a lot of people these past few years, they thought they were investment gurus. They were crypto and stock gurus. They were telling everyone, you need to buy this, you need to buy that.
I'm not going to say a name, but my cousin was one of those people.
Yeah, and it's because of the greed. They think it's so easy to make money. They put their money into a doggy crypto coin,
yeah.
And it went up 1,000%. They're like, I'm an investing expert. So they put more in. Instead of selling it, they put more in.
They pumped it up.
If you put your money in something and you don't understand why it went up, take your money out.
Right.
Greed's going to take over.
Right.
You're going to think you know more than you do.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to dig yourself into a hole.
Kid, man. Wow.
So typically with investing, They say buy low and sell high.
Right.
But in it, when you're greedy, you buy high and you sell low. Mm-hmm. Because you're like, oh my gosh, everyone's making money. I've got to jump in too. You jump in. Then the market drops. And then you switch from greedy to fearful. Mm. And then you say, the market dropped. I need to sell.
Wow.
And now you've bought high and sold low. Mm. It's all an emotional game. And yeah. We definitely have to learn to balance that fear and greed.
Right.
Because I felt it myself. You know, when I was in the crypto markets in 2017, I put about $15,000 into a cryptocurrency, and it went to $142,000.
Wow.
I told my mom, I said, I just made $142,000.
Right.
She said, take it out. Sell it all.
Right.
I said, no. It's going to $1 million.
Right.
It went back to $10,000.
Wow.
You know? And it was pure greed. You think you know more than you do. And you have to really learn to silence that greed and really be in touch with yourself. Mm-hmm. You don't know why that you made that money. Mm-hmm. If you don't understand why you made the money, sell.
Sell.
Sell. Because I'm not here to gamble.
Right.
We can't play around with money.
Right.
We've got to, you know what we're doing. So it's really important. And that fear and greed principle, it's not just investing. It applies to life.
Right.
You know, just fear, yeah. You know? That fear element can stop you from taking a risk that might be worth it, right? So, you know, what if you said, you know, I really think I should just get a safe job, and I don't think I should take a chance. I'm not going to go to doctoral school. I'm just going to just, you know, hang out here and just collect a salary. Seems like easy money. Mm-hmm. That fear prevented you from taking a leap of faith.
Right.
That ended up working out.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we don't have that crystal ball to see if it's going to work out. You just have to jump in head first.
Absolutely.
And life is short, bro.
Yeah, absolutely, and, bro.
I'd rather take the risk and fall flat on my face than not take the risk and have regret when I'm 85.
It's very true.
So I think that's what it all comes down to. Just there's a time to be fearful, but don't be fearful with your dreams.
Yeah.
You know, be fearful with, you know, going to the hood.
Yeah.
Be fearful with going to the hood to meet that girl in front of her building.
Right.
Yeah, but you can't be fearful with your dreams, man.
Nah, man. You got to be serious, bro.
Yeah, you got to take that chance. Take that's that shot. Chance. So I think that's, I'll end it with that, man. I just feel like, you know, we all have gifts and abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And some people don't think they have them, but, mm-hmm. you know, they're hidden inside somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you know what your gift is, you got to go all in.
Right.
There's no excuse. If you don't, you're doing yourself a disservice and you're setting yourself up to depression later on. I don't care what's going on in your life. You've got 3 kids. Make it happen.
Make it happen.
Buy yourself a microphone. You know, buy yourself whatever it's got to be. Yeah. Whatever your dream is.
Right.
You know, go for it.
Go for it.
You know, because if you let it go and you say, I've got kids, I'm going to dial it back now, you're going to resent them.
Mm.
Or you'll throw your dreams in the trash can, and now your kids are going to be your dream. You're going to be trying to live through them.
Right.
You ever see someone, you know, they've got their kids, and they're putting them in, they're forcing them in modeling things, and
all the time.
You got something you want to tell me? Why are you? It's like they're trying to live through them. They put on their Instagram bio, Rayshawn's mommy. It's
just, right.
Who are you?
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with being a parent your identity. I think that's beautiful.
Yeah.
But some people take away their sense of self and make their full identity a parent.
A parent. Yeah.
And I think that sometimes that can be a bad thing.
Yeah, I think it's limiting.
It is.
It's severely limiting. You are a person, and we don't mean this by any. We don't mean this to be of any type of offense or any type of like derogatory way. You were a person before you had that kid.
Yeah.
And you still are a person before you have that kid.
Right.
Now that kid and that child or your children, plural, come first. But at the same time, like, you should never ever forget your innate identity. You should never forget who you are, where you truly come from, and the gifts that you were innately born with to give to the world. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Yeah.
And sometimes it can come from laziness too.
Mm.
Because are you saying you don't have an hour?
Yeah.
To work on your passion a day? An hour?
An hour.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
They sleep eventually.
Right.
You're saying you don't have an hour.
It's true.
That's an excuse.
That's very true. You're right.
An hour. Yeah, man, we've all got time.
Yeah.
And I don't have kids, so of course I don't have direct experience, but Come on, man. Yeah. We've all got time. So yeah. I just feel like we've got to really learn to sacrifice and be a little selfish.
It's true.
It's like, yo, I mean, I'm a parent 24/7, but take 1 hour for yourself, build something, you know, write that monologue, do whatever you believe you're here to do.
Right.
Because we're not here to just be workers.
Right.
You know, because that job can lay you off at any moment.
It's very true.
And then you're sitting in a dark room wondering where your life has went. It's right. only because you bet on a job and not yourself.
Right. It's true.
So it's very true. Yeah, I live every day knowing that everything can be taken away from me at any moment.
Oh yeah, you have to.
The job, everything. I can be back at my mom's house in a year.
Oh yeah, you have to. Yeah. You have to. Especially when you know, I don't know how you feel about this, especially brother, when you know that you've fallen flat on your face before.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Man.
What?
Oh
what?
Man.
Like how I did when I got, you remember, because I text you both times. When I literally got fired 2 times within a span of 2 months from the private school and the substitute teaching job. After that, I was like, yo, just know you can always crumble and go back down to zero. But when you do, how are you going to rebuild yourself back up to recover from it? That's important.
That is important, bro.
That's important.
And we were going through hell at the same time, bro.
At the same time. 2019.
We were on the phone with each other in 2019, just going back and forth, just... Sometimes just you need someone that understands what's going on. And that's why it's so good to have people in your corner that aren't just the ear to listen to, but they also have something to pour back into you.
That's fact.
Because I don't need someone to just listen to me and we cry together and I get off the phone.
Right.
I need some real words of encouragement.
Absolutely.
Someone that will build you up when you're on the ground. And man, I'll tell the truth, man. I was walking dogs at that time.
Nah, man. Yeah, you can talk about it now.
I'm talking Manhattan... Yeah. You've seen them.
Yeah.
5 leashes in my hand. Brother, 5 leashes and 7 leashes in my hand. Dogs going all directions, brother.
Right.
Central Park. Walking dogs, man. But it's just like, man, but we never gave up.
We never gave up.
We never gave up.
Wow. Man. You were walking dogs at that time, 5 to 7, you know, leashes in your hand, as you said. And around that time when we officially launched the podcast, when we started taking interviews in and interviewing people and, you know, conducting hosting, I was in between jobs, I could say. And
yeah.
I literally either was fired or on the verge of getting fired from my substitute teaching job because I can say what it is now because, you know, I own up to my mistakes and whatever, whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
The job was so boring, bro. I fell asleep in the detention center. I was like, man, like I'm bored out of my mind here. And I try to keep moving now.
Yeah.
But I couldn't because why? I'll tell you why. And I'm going to turn this into a lesson. I fell asleep. You know, and I don't condone that. If you're a substitute teacher or you're hosting the ISS, the internal school suspension, you should never fall asleep.
Yeah.
Disclaimer, just to make that, you know, just to get that across, make that quite clear. But I fell asleep because I didn't want to be there. That's not what I wanted to do in my life. And I wasn't supposed to be there. My calling was to be where I'm at now and to teach, educate, research, and be that scholar. That wasn't it at the point.
Yeah.
So I had to continue to work and, you know, refine and hone and continue to search for my purpose and what I was going to be.
Yeah.
So again, I don't condone it. That wasn't right, but I understand why I got fired and I owned up to it. Accountability. A lot of people lack accountability.
Yeah.
I said, you know what? I was wrong. I fucked up. This is not something I should have did, you know? And as a result of that, it made me better. It made me better. It made me stronger. And I told myself, if I continue to fall flat on my face, I'm going to give it everything I got.
That's it.
Go down swinging.
And once you hit rock bottom, you're never afraid to go back.
Never.
Because, I mean, everyone fears hitting rock bottom.
Right.
So once you've hit it, you always know you can get back.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think God bless the dead. God rest the Godfather's soul, Kevin Samuels. He always says that. He always said that when it comes to high value men could make money and lose all their money in the stock market tomorrow and go to zero.
Yeah.
But as long as you've always been someone who's been... what's the word? Diligent. You've endured. You've overcome. You've conquered.
Yeah.
And you've persevered through adversity. High value men can always make it back within the next 6 months to a year.
Absolutely.
I agree with them.
Absolutely. If you have 100%. The skills to pay the bills will always get paid.
Absolutely.
You know? And, you know, I can think about this. When I woke up in June and Coinbase laid me off, got the email, my computer was locked. You know, woke up for work, opened the computer's locked. I said, I got excited. I got happy.
Wow. Why so?
I said, now's the time for you to prove it wasn't a fluke. People can know, first time you get a job, Coinbase was paying me $140,000. You get a job, you say, wow, how the fuck did I get here? Right. This is crazy.
Right.
You feel like it's almost luck. And so when that happened, I said, this is the time to prove it wasn't luck.
Right.
And you're going to get back. Sometimes when you're in a comfortable position, you can forget what it's like to grind.
Yes.
And as grinders, like, you know, like we are, when you haven't grinded in a minute, it's just like, I want to crawl again, man. Yeah, and I want to build something from scratch again. Yeah,
it's almost too good.
It's too good.
It's too good.
I need something rugged. I need a bit more resistance.
Absolutely.
So that's exactly how I saw it. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm going to get back. Mm-hmm. In 2 weeks, I was back.
Like you never left.
Like I never left, man. And it's just amazing. So it's like if you have the ability to get back, imagine if you bet on yourself 100% and said, I don't need a company. I'm gonna build it up myself.
Absolutely.
And that's even sweeter.
And let me ask you a question. In 2 weeks, you were able to get back, right? And didn't on the get back, they try to get you to come back?
Yeah, that's heavy, brother.
On the get back, they try to get you to come back. I don't know.
Trying to get me to come. Listen. You know what? It's crazy. Yeah, I'm not gonna say too much on that.
Yeah,
but
yeah, I get it.
If you bring value somewhere, they'll realize it. They'll realize they made a mistake. If you brought value to any organization and you depart, they will experience the hole that's felt.
Yes.
They will notice it. And it may take them a while to notice it, but eventually they'll say, wait a minute. Wait, this guy was doing that? Oh, crap. Oh, what's going on here? Why is this not done? Oh, he was doing that? Damn. There's a big hole left.
Yeah.
And everywhere you go, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Without a doubt.
And you just have to... And that's just the cost of being you.
Yeah.
Everywhere you go, there's going to be a hole when you leave.
Yeah.
So what happens when you take all that energy and you build your own hole?
Right.
I mean, not hole, but you build your own.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you're standing on your own 2 feet.
Because you're the major asset.
Exactly.
That's exactly what it is. You're the major asset and you're the commodity that brings in the productivity.
Yeah.
Or not brings it in, but performs it.
Yeah. It's true.
It's not easy being a finisher, Mark. I've just realized that. It's not easy being a finisher. And when I say finisher, just another term or word for executioner. It's not easy being and someone who executes the game plan.
Yeah.
Being a finisher is really hard. Winning the game in the final seconds of the game off a buzzer beater is really hard.
Yeah.
You know, overtime, both teams are exhausted.
Yeah.
Fuming, running on fumes, barely breathing, but just trying to get through. To win that playoff game, to advance and go to the Eastern Conference Finals of the next round, the championship round, that's not hard. Who's got the gusto? Who's got the wind? Who's got the oomph, you know what I'm saying? The final 3-4 minutes in them to be able to eke it out.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people can do it. Finishing is really, really hard. And I was listening to Mr. Jason Black's program the other day. He was talking about, it was a great program. It was about hard fathers and soft sons. So he's talking about the whole Master P dilemma. I don't know if you've heard about that.
I didn't look too much into it, but yeah.
Long story short, Master P's son, Romeo Miller, is talking about his father owes him $50 million and he hasn't given him the money he thinks he's deserved over his lifetime of being his son.
$50
million? Yeah. Oh. Off of TV deals, his album, CD sales, and things of that nature.
Wow.
And his father was like, that's not your money. That's my money.
You're right.
He made it quite clear. Like, that's not your money. That's my money.
Yeah.
We actually went into the red for you, pushing your album out. Like, there's a lot of things if you want to, son, come to the Percy Miller office, and I'll show you the whole thing, right? And the reason why I thought it was so interesting was because... this one guy called in on the show and he talked about, his father teaching him how to, run a tractor trailer and drive the tractor trailer on the farm and, you know, be able to like, you know, graze the farm and make sure that everything was good for harvest and for the crops, right? And how his, when he was a kid and his father taught him to do that, he'd complain. he just complained about it all the time until one day his father just put him out there. And the mom was like, why do you have him out there at this time? And he was like, listen, woman, I'm raising my son. Allow me to raise him and the way I need to, so that way he can become a man that's very productive. Mm-hmm. And then before he knew it, it became easy and easier and easier. And he was able to graze the whole entire field. And he said that in itself taught him how to be a finisher and executioner. And as a result of that, that confidence of being able to run the tractor trailer and without his father's direction over a course of weeks, months, and years. Now he's able to pass those same type of skill sets upon his own son.
Yeah.
And then now the family has an understanding, especially the men, on how to execute, how to be finishers. A lot of people lack, a lot of people know how to start, bro, whether it's a, anything, whether it's a college course, whether it's coding, mm-hmm. anything, right? A lot of people know how to, start taking real estate classes, but they don't know how to finish.
Yeah.
They don't know how to pass the exam. They don't know how to start and enter this game that we call life.
Yeah, it's true.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's true. And it's a trait. It's a trait. And it could have a lot to do with how you're raised.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it comes down to, do you have it or do you not?
Mm.
And some people, they get stuck in their ways and they're not able to shift.
Ooh.
But you always see. I mean, in this economy, there's a lot of people afraid to get laid off.
Right.
They're just scared. I don't want this to happen. How am I going to feed my family?
Yeah. It's true.
I tell people, just get another job. It's simple, but that's simple to guys like us.
Yeah.
To them, they're like, how am I going to do that? Well, you got a lot of problems.
You got a lot of problems there. You got to figure it out.
It's as simple as just get another damn job.
Right.
Well, how's it the end of the world if you get laid off?
Right.
But for some people, they go, so it comes back to that mentality. I won. I don't think I can win again.
Right.
That's it.
That's it right there.
I won. I don't think I can win again. That's why when Coinbase laid me off, I got excited because I said, now is the time to show that I can get it again.
Absolutely.
But some people believe that when they win, it's by accident.
Yes. I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you said that. A very small but very huge quick point to that. This guy called into Mr. Black's program the other day. I think it was yesterday, actually. And he was talking about how, he's been driving a truck and, he started his own trucking business and he's been scaling pretty well. He's been doing pretty good over the past 3-4 years, doing his own trucking operation. Mm-hmm. And he said that he's going into year two now and he's just hoping to repeat his same luck that he had last year. And I was listening, right? And I was washing dishes when I heard this and I was like, nah, bro. Like, literally, people like you and I know this. I'm literally washing dishes and I'm hearing this on the program and I'm like, nah, bro, that's not luck. That was all you. What you mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? This luck, whatever, not. And then Jason was like, listen, man, he was like, you're going into year two. And then after that, you'll be going into year three. And if that keeps up, you'll be going into year four, year five. Brother, that's not luck. That's called productivity.
Yeah.
And the moment you classify it as luck, you limit your opportunities and you limit your ability to be able to replicate the same successful formula. And I was like, that's so right. We got to stop calling things luck when we put in the work behind it, man.
Yeah. But it comes down to what I was thinking about earlier with the greed factor. If you don't know how you made the money, it may be the economy. Ooh. Your trucking business did well in a booming economy. How are you going to do during a recession?
Ooh.
Maybe it was luck, brother.
Well,
not luck, but at the end of the day, a lot of people can make money when the recession looks good.
Right.
But what happens when the recession turns?
Mm-hmm.
Can you still make the money? And if you're thinking it's luck, it probably was. It probably was.
It's the mindset.
If I have a formula and my formula is working, where does luck come in?
Right.
I'm executing on a formula.
Absolutely.
But if you're dipping and dancing in an industry that you're not really familiar with and you're making a little money, maybe it is luck. Because once these interest rates turn around, you might be screwed.
That's good.
So if you have a strict formula, you'll never say it's luck. But if you're, dipping in the industry, if you're not all in, if you're just dancing around, it might be luck. You may be like those people who put $100 in doggy coin and it went to $1 million and they say, I hope I could do this again. You probably can't.
And that's when it's important to flesh it out.
Yeah.
That's exactly when it's important to flesh it out.
So him right now, if he doesn't have a formula, write down that formula.
Right.
And if it doesn't make sense, it might have been luck.
Ooh, real, real.
Because, I mean, the trucking industry has been beautiful these past few years.
Yeah.
Anybody can buy, not anybody, but a lot of people were buying trucks, starting the business and, functioning in this business.
Yeah.
But when the economy gets bad.
Yeah.
It's tough, man. Because remember, these stores, interest rates are going up. The economy, economic activity slows down. These stores may not be ordering as much stuff as they used to because they're not expanding like they used to.
Yeah.
Customer economic activity is going down because interest rates are high.
Right.
Maybe you may be in trouble. I've never imagine Kobe like, man, I hope I could do that again. No, he knows how to do it. He's got a formula.
Yeah.
But that rookie who went off of 40 and you never heard from him again.
Right. Ooh.
Might have been luck.
Might have been luck. Yeah, now you're right. You're right.
Remember, it's a few guys. I mean, geez. Brandon Jennings. Remember he went off for 80 or
something? Yeah.
I'm not saying he's not a great play because he could destroy me tomorrow.
I know
he But mean. Was he great?
Right. Right. Was it's he tough. Great? Or was it luck? No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
So
that's interesting, man.
We're going to see a lot of businesses over the next 2-3 years fall because they were operating on luck. Just a booming economy. Can you survive in a bad economy?
Right.
Can you? That's what it's all going to come down to. Yeah. Oh, you got a good job. Mm. Is your ability to get a job the same in a bad economy? Does your skill set fit what companies are looking for in a bad economy?
Right.
When they've got 20 positions open when they've got two positions open instead of 20, do you still get chosen? Mm-hmm. Or were you just a part of that 20? Are you top two? Or are you top 20?
Top 20. Ooh, ooh.
That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, that's that separation.
Yeah.
Where do you stand?
Where do you stand? Because it's easy to get hired when a company's hiring 100 people and you were one of them.
Right.
What happens when they're hiring two?
That's very
Do you get the spot?
100%.
And hope the brother is, you know, this trucking business succeeds. I wish nothing but the best. But are you top 20 or are you top two?
Ooh.
That's what it comes down to.
The vast discrepancy. I love it.
It's truly amazing.
It's truly amazing, bro. It's so interesting you say all this and we say all this. Back-to-back 4.0s, right? And I talked about it on my story that day.
Yeah.
I figured out my formula. I know my pocket. I figured out my formula. I figured out what works for me. And I know what it takes to get the 4.0. The fact that I got it again, it wasn't luck. It's because I knew what it... Well, once I achieved it the first time, I was like, oh... This is all I gotta do. Show up 7 days a week, put in 10 plus 12 hour days,
right.
And this is the outcome. This is what comes with it. All right, bet I could do that in my sleep.
Exactly.
All right, 7 days a week. Here we go.
You stepped in with the formula. You knew what it took to get
right.
Now I've never heard anyone get a 4.0 by accident and say, right. Whoa. I hope that wasn't luck.
Right.
It's like, if you got a 4.0, you know what you did to get it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Without a doubt. And then on top of that, going into next semester, when I know the first day of the semester arrives, it's like, all right, it's like the basketball game, right? I got to put that semester behind me. It's over. It's 0.0 all over again.
That's true.
You ain't got a 4.0 now.
That's
true. Now how are we going to work hard to see if we can get it and do a three-peat? You see what I'm saying? That's how I look
at it.
The game starts from scratch every day.
How do you maintain the hunger?
That's a great one.
4.0 one time, it's like, okay, I got it. We run it back again. Mm-hmm. After the second, what is the motivation to get another?
Greatness. Greatness. Greatness and being extraordinary. Greatness and being extraordinary. Like, it's like, you did it once, you're like, wow, I've always wanted this. I did it. I'm proud of myself.
Yeah.
Second time coming in, you're like, I want it again. But, you know, I'm taking this statistics class. You know, I took that math class last semester.
Yeah.
I got it with it. So it's like, wow, I did it again. And it's just like, oh my gosh, I'm salivating. Three-peat? Of course we can do this. We know we can do this. We've done it twice already. Mm. So going into it the third time, it's like the hunger that keeps me going, if anything, is that, okay, I did it once, I did it twice. Not only am I going to do it again, I'm going to do it again because at this point, I've understand that, like Kobe once said, once you've worked hard in something and you've utilized your ability to create excellence by, you know, building up excellent habits, then excellence is just what you are. Mm-hmm. So now going into it the third time, if I get it this semester, and I know I will, it'll only happen because of the fact that I know how to be excellent now.
Yeah.
So excellent is just what I am. It's what defines me. And it's funny because you have other people. I was telling my mom this the other day. You have other people in my program saying, don't worry about getting a 4.0. Don't worry about it. Like, you know, don't mentally stress yourself out. Like, you know, it's a lot. And I mean, at the end of the day, you have a 4.0 then, but what's going to guarantee that you get that job afterwards, whatever, whatnot. And I say to them, my response to them is, that sounds pretty cool. I understand where you're coming from. But at the end of the day, Now that I got these 4.0s, whether it matters to me or whether it matters to you or not, I know how to get them. I go to school 7 days a week. I ain't got nothing else better to do with my life right now, so I'm going to get them. And what are you going to do to stop me? Yeah. Come in and try to talk to me?
Right.
Get the hell on out.
That's true.
And I'm going to continue to get them because for me, it's a standard that I hold myself to. You see what I'm saying? And like, Donnell Morris, I know he used to talk a lot about this on his Instagram Instagram Reels. Don't let nobody trick you out your spot. Do not let anyone trick you out your spot. Don't let anyone speak down upon you. Don't let anyone demean you or try to dwindle your accomplishments. Mm-hmm. If you've been able to achieve something and you know that it makes you feel good and you keep striving for it and there's a hunger there, keep going for it.
That's it. That's it. And keep like you said, people will try to trick you out of your spot and they will try to trick you out of your mentality too.
Right. Right.
How's your little business going?
Yeah.
It's the cheap shots, man.
It's the cheap shots, man.
And then if you hear it too many times, some people say, yeah, my little business is doing all right.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, it's just a little bit. It's a little true. Side business.
Yeah. Bro, words are powerful. The power comes from the tongue, man. Words are powerful. So we have to be very cognizant of how we express and how we share our thoughts and just our mentalities. And people say, oh, Mark, you made $50 million this year. You can chill. You can chill more. You made 50 this year. Oh, but I was thinking about pushing 75, 100 million for next quarter. Mark, listen. Self-care.
Yes, yes.
Self-care. Therapy, self-care.
And you know what they say? Money isn't happiness.
Right.
They say, money isn't happiness. What are you doing? Why are you fighting like that? Money's not. Are you happy? Listen, money is not happiness. It's not. It's like, yeah, money isn't everything.
Right.
But it's subjective. It depends.
It depends. It depends. Yes.
It depends. It's like money isn't everything. But when you don't have any money, money is everything.
Ooh.
It's like people that say money isn't everything, they say that because they have enough to take care of themselves and their family. Mm-hmm. If money isn't everything, quit your job right now. And when your son is looking at you in a week saying, Daddy, we hungry, what are you going to tell him? What are you going to tell him? You're going to look him in his eye. What are you going to tell him? Hey, money isn't everything, son. It's a joke, brother.
Hey.
Money is everything to people who don't have money.
Right.
And there's no telling what you would do to get it when you don't have it.
You don't have the money.
If I've got a room full of, I've got five kids and I don't have any money, you should be scared of me.
Right.
Because I'm willing to do anything.
To get the money.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
It's a mentality thing, brother.
It is, man. It is, bro. I agree with you, brother. Like, 1,000,000,000,000%. It's definitely a mentality thing. And I think the sooner we start to understand that we need to normalize, right? We need to normalize not only accruing money, but we need to normalize pushing for obtaining and sustaining success financially and by all different means that we talked about today, physically, spiritually, and all that stuff. Once we start to normalize that and not normalize like, it's okay to be poor, it's okay to be average, it's okay to be mediocre. Once we get past that curve, I think we'll be in a much better place as a society.
Yeah, I agree.
But
it's the woke culture, though, it's tough.
Right. And I don't want to make this a race issue because I think that in regards to this conversation, I think that's it's a moot point.
Right.
But man, I always go back to this guy. Shout out to Jason Black, man, host of the business broadcast, man. Because a lot of the things this man be saying, man, he just be dropping bars, bro.
Yeah.
I really, really appreciate him. He said something yesterday that I thought was so poignant, and it summed up this term in a nutshell. It was quite succinct. He said, white supremacy is simply defined as the power of the people at the top and everything that they have and those who fight for the scraps. The power of the people at the top and all that they've sustained and gained throughout the world and those who fight for the scraps.
Not white or black.
So what does that tell you? That's pretty much a vast... It's exhibiting or showcasing a vast discrepancy between the rich and the wealthy and the poor. That's it.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing in the middle. That's all it is.
You know what? And a white friend of mine actually said that. She said that to me years ago. She said, it's not race. It's rich and poor.
That's it.
And at the time, I didn't get it. Right. I said, what are you talking about? You know, there is a system in place against, you know, that's going against people of color.
Yeah.
She says, no, you're confused. She said, you're confused. It's rich versus poor. And she said, I'm poor.
Mm.
So we're in the same category.
Facts.
And I didn't get it.
Yeah.
And they want us to argue about race
and color. Yeah.
But it's about rich and poor.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Brother, this has been remarkable, man.
Yeah.
It's a remarkable episode, a remarkable meetup, and this is great. This is great. We're not going to guarantee anything for the listeners out there, but if we have something to talk about, maybe we reconvene in 6 months.
Yeah.
And see if we can take it from there.
For sure.
But I'm definitely down with doing this like once a year, yearly, just to kind of see where this goes.
Oh, yeah, of course.
In terms of sharing with the folks.
Definitely.
So listen, check this out, folks. If you like this episode today, please be sure to share it, stream it across all podcast platforms. We're not the wise guys, you know, we're just some regular guys, but the wise guys, let's put it this way, the wise guys streaming pod, right, in general, if you just talk about the I don't know what they call it, not the link, but like the podcatcher, if you may, it's available across all streaming platforms at the Wise Guys NYC. So you can just look it up on, let's see, Twitter, IG, Anchor, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and we're there, The Wise Guys NYC. All right. This has been a very, very telling episode. Before we head out of here, Mark, I know we don't have any word to the wise anymore. That used to be our segment. But any closing reflections for the people as of today? Any final comments or anything you'd like to add? I know I have a few, but I'll let you start off if you have any.
Yeah, I mean, just continue to fight for what's yours.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, we all have skills and abilities.
Right.
And you've got to fight to be able to use them.
Fact,
you got to fight to make the time for it. You got to fight to put the work in and actually distribute it. So just continue fighting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really all I've got.
I love it. Yeah. I love it, brother. And for me, I have a few points here. I think I got this again from this article I've been reading. Before I close it out, I just want to say shout out to the writer of the article, Anthony Moore. He wrote this on Medium and apparently the Business Insider, so it must have transferred over to Business Insider. But the name of the article by Anthony Moore is called Being Incredibly Successful Comes Down to the Simple Choices You Make. And again, it explains the 3 points that I touched upon today in regards to health, education, not entertainment, and morning and evening routines. Again, it's written by Anthony Moore of Medium, and it was written and published on November 13th, 2017 at 4:55 p.m. All right, so all these great points you heard me talking about today, you know, I implemented my own thoughts in there, and as well as I incorporated my own experiences, but those are not mine. I'm giving credit to the source. So Anthony Moore, just to be fair.
Awesome.
Definitely wanted to give him his flowers. So closing reflection, excuse me, on my end. One, dreamers only talk about what life could be.
Mm-hmm.
Two, the elite study their craft and actually improve. We've been doing that for years, brother.
Yep.
Three, elite performers tweak and modify their performance over and over again until it aligns with world-class behavior. Four, many people claim they want enormous success, but their lives are undisciplined and scattered. Five, if you want to become first-class in everything you do, you need to study your craft. And sixth, and the final one, if you want a first-class life, you must choose to make it happen. No amount of luck, good intentions, or raw talent will save you.
It's heavy.
Heavy, yeah. Heavy. So, with that being said, I just wanted to say thank you, my brother, for sitting down with me today. I think this was well needed. I think this was important, prevalent, and as well as timely. Mm-hmm. I think the people needed to hear from us today. And we hope that you continue to tune in to both Mark's independent solo projects as well as my projects. We have a lot of great things coming down the pipe in 2023. Mark, I don't know if you want to shout out your handles or if you want to explain or, you know, mention anything you have coming up.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So you can find me on Instagram or TikTok at MarkPruden_. Man, pretty much just spreading as much wisdom and knowledge as I can, just sharing my thoughts and opinions on things. You know, on my Instagram, I just say I'm a man with a strong opinion. That's about it. And I'm releasing reels about 3 times a week, just covering various topics, like many of the topics we spoke about today. So it's been amazing to see the engagement. And, you know, I'm really excited to just continue to put things out, man. It's a beautiful thing to be able to just express myself like that. So it's great.
Brother, this year is going to be yours.
2022
is coming down the pipe with great things for you. I see it already. 2022,
thank you, brother.
Just a warm up. 2022 is going to really hit them.
Absolutely, brother.
For sure. Definitely. For sure. Absolutely. So yeah, as for me, Kevin Unglad, at Kevin Unglad, A-N-G-L-A-D-E 1-1. Again, that's at Kevin Unglad, A-N-G-L-A-D-E 1-1 across all socials, all platforms, all right? TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And yeah, that's pretty much it on my part. Got some musical projects coming down the line. Check out the Cypher, the Nerds Mixtape or Nerds Mixtape, I think it's called. Yeah, the Cypher Nerds Mixtape, that'll be out in August. And then I'll be dropping my second album sometime in the summer of 2024. So we working, we always working.
It's a beautiful thing.
For sure, for sure, for sure. So, man, this is so nostalgic right now. I think this is the point where the music drops, right? So, as I normally would say, or as I usually say, it's the man, Kevin Unglad.
And this is Mark Pruden.
And you've been tuning in to the podcast.
That's it.
Whatever you want to call it. But you've been tuning into it, all right? I don't know. I'm not too sure. But hopefully we'll see you in June, all right? We'll check back in halfway across the year to kind of see how is everyone's doing with their routines and if they've made any changes and adjusted.
Beautiful. Looking forward to it.
Absolutely. So take care, y'all. Happy New Year, and we'll speak to you soon.
Stay wise,
guys. Later.